Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The title of our podcast today is The Curious Case of Phineas Gage. Phineas Gage was a man who worked on a railroad, and he had a large iron rod go through his skull. That was his claim to fame. So we're gonna talk about his case. It's kind of interesting. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a true crime history podcast, and we use adult language. So if that offends you, then you might want to check out one of the other great podcasts out there that does not use adult language, such as They Walk Among Us or our friends at Insight. But if you're okay with adult language and adult humor, then by all means, join us here as we talk about Phineas Gage.
And if you like the adult language, me and Timmy are celebrities because we made appearances on Squirm.
Yes.
The latest episode is Timmy going down to a brothel in Mexico.
Please, let's don't get into that. They can listen if they'd like.
I'm just giving them a teaser, Timmy. Just a teaser.
Yeah, you're gonna ensure that I never get laid again.
No, but I think you do a pretty good job of that yourself, son.
All right. But do check out Squirm. It's really funny. And our friends at They Walk Among Us. Season 2 has started. It's the best podcast out there. But if you don't want the best, then we invite you to listen to us.
Yeah. Sometimes you just get tired of steak, Timmy, and you want a hot dog.
You want a McNugget.
Exactly.
We're the McNugget.
We're the Big Mac podcasting world. You know,
introduced yet, by the way.
I know, but I got to chime in here because you're on topic and I don't want to miss it.
Okay.
Last night I'm sitting at the table because I wanted to hear your the They Walk Among Us,
right?
New show,
episode two of season two.
Yeah. And my wife Renee looks at me and she says, "Well, you know, if you're going to do a fake accent, because you know how Ben's voice is."
Yeah, it's Ben from They Walk Among Us.
Ben's voice, but anyway, she says, "If you're going to do a fake accent, why don't you do one like that?" And I said, "Well, that's not a fake accent. He's actually British, honey." And she said, "Well, I like his accent." And I said, "Again, see, he's just talking. Mm-hmm. He's not really, it's not an accent if it's your real voice. You know what I'm saying? You with me here?"
"We get it."
Yeah. Okay. So she looks at me and says, "His is nice." And I said, "Well, yes, it's nice, but it's not a fake accent. See, I'm
So your wife is turned on by Ben's voice, is what you're saying.
And then she just finally was tired of the discussion and looked at me and says, "Well, he sounds better than you do."
Wow. You know, she's not very good at distinguishing between real and fake.
I think she's very good at stating the obvious, though.
I'll tell you why I say that. Well, if you want to tell people who I am before.
Yes, let me introduce. We're normally joined by our friend Brandy. But she's in rehab this week. she's taking a well-deserved vacation.
So. Well, and you know, we couldn't have Brandy, so we thought, should we just do it ourselves? And we thought, no.
Let's get the second most evil woman.
Yeah, we need to find somebody just as wretched as Brandy. Who could that possibly be? And luckily, I got three nieces that are just as wretched as Brandy, and we have one available.
Yes. So we're very...
the most wretched of the three.
Very happy to have with us today the lovely Dominique. How are you today, Dominique?
I'm wretched.
You're wretched. That could be your intro.
No, I'm not wretched. I'm wonderful, as are my sisters.
Well, we are glad you're joining us today.
They are lovely girls.
I know you're excited about this topic that you just found out about 3 minutes ago.
First I'm going to tell you my story about my aunt, who can't tell between real and fake things. Although I will say that...
This is the lovely Renee.
After being married to my uncle for 30 years, I'd assume he's not very good at distinguishing between real and fake either.
Okay.
Anyway, my son has a tank...
A
tank. He has a real fish that my uncle bought him.
Fish.
Okay.
He has a little tank that his great-grandmother got him from the Discovery Channel with three tiny little jellyfish. Nice. And it's got this air pump that makes them look like they're swimming.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I had a family event, it was downstairs by Fish Fish and my Aunt Renee sees it and she...
So wait a minute, this is a fake fish.
For fuck's sake, who has pet jellyfish? Yes, they are plastic jellyfish. Okay. That air blower makes them look like they're swimming.
Okay.
And so
technology is a wonderful thing. My head spin.
Looks at it and goes, are those real jellyfish? More like, what a fucking idiot. Well, then my sister Kirby gets there like 20 minutes later and she walks in and she goes, are those real jellyfish? I'm like, what?
In
what
fairness, happens? They look kind of plastic.
What happens in this family? Why can't you understand?
I think we just numb ourselves to reality.
There's no such thing as pet jellyfish.
Have you ever seen the movie 7 Pounds with Will Smith?
I did not.
He had no jellyfish. That's how he committed suicide in the movie. I just kind of ruined the movie for you. Spoiler alert. you don't need to watch it now. But anyway, we're glad you're here, Dominique. Standing in for Brandy, so you know, try to be vulgar and you know, say nasty things because the people are accustomed to her.
Yeah, just be yourself.
Yeah, be yourself.
Done.
Up with people. We are also joined by the very honorable, a man who is known far and wide as the most dangerous man in podcasting today. He is the moral compass of this podcast. He is an oasis in the desert of despair. The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
Why is that?
I'm just not good. Because you know what I've noticed on our page? They keep doing these selfie threads.
On our Facebook page.
On our Facebook page. History Dweebs the podcast. And they keep doing these things. And I don't usually take selfies much. And I decided, okay, once in a while I'll throw
You're posting selfies like a 13-year-old girl.
I know I am all of a sudden. But you know what happens to me every time? It'll be somebody like I'll be ready. I'll find somebody that's, you know, just one of the guys that's average looking, you know, and they'll post a picture. And then I'll be like, okay, I'll jump in with him because, you know, nobody will, two average looking guys, nobody pays no attention. But in the meantime, some really hot woman will post her picture and mine will end up between underneath hers. Mm-hmm. And then another really hot woman will post her picture below mine. And it makes me look like just an old, beaten up, wrinkled up, mangled old man.
You look like that either way.
Right? Yeah, that's not what's making you look that way.
Yeah. You know, if you're a 53-year-old man, you shouldn't be doing a lot of selfies. Just saying.
I'm getting good at them, Timmy.
You've lived a hard life. It's apparent in your selfies.
It does kind of shoot.
And you take them from below.
Yeah, you're supposed to take them like from
you're
up.
You're terrible at it. And I keep telling you what to do and you refuse to listen.
If you take a selfie from below, you've got like 6 chins.
Yeah.
I like the chins.
You have to take it from like...
I think the chins give me a good look.
You need to take yours from like the stratosphere or something.
Yeah, right. From the space shuttle.
Exactly. All right. Let's talk about... We want to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. We'll be doing Patreon shout-outs at the end of the podcast. But thank you all very much. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee tiny bit, Timmy.
Just a tip.
Just a tip, Timmy.
Yeah.
Can we do a couple quick shout-outs just before we start? Just a couple special people. We got a couple wonderful messages. One from a lovely young lady, Leah, who is Syrian here in the United States. She listens to the podcast. We want to say we appreciate it. We appreciate the message you sent to us. It was very kind. And Charlotte from Ireland.
Yes.
Who I imagine to be a red-haired, green-eyed beauty with fair skin.
I think she's probably Team Timmy, I think.
Oh, well, then she's...
I'm guessing. I mean...
I don't know. I think she'd probably be Team Colonel. Most of the people seem to be Team Colonel. The merch that's moving the most is Team Colonel. Is that not correct, Dominique?
I'm not answering anything until someone asks me how I'm doing.
How you doing, Dominique?
I'm okay.
Well, today's okay.
Thank you.
That was enlightening.
Today's a little bit of a rough day for me. I'm having a little bit of an existential crisis. My husband's having a surgical procedure, and
your husband is having his genitalia mutilated.
See, I'm
and you're letting that happen.
Yeah.
You're just letting
him go
through.
You should be protecting his balls.
You know, you should be the protector of all things sacred down there.
Well, yeah. You know.
You have a vested interest in the scrotum, your husband's scrotum.
That is true. Having my daughter almost killed me, and it is medically recommended. I have no more children, so we're going through with this, but I also am.
Well, no. We are not going through this. He's going through this. Yeah.
You've already been through this.
I've been through it.
Apparently, you're here podcasting when this is going on.
Yeah, don't tell him.
I did mine at home with a pair of bolt cutters.
What's your husband's name?
I'm not telling you that.
Okay.
We call him the Falcon, Timmy.
Falcon.
He's the Falcon.
He's the Falcon. I'm the Hawk. He's the Falcon.
And they like to preen each other.
Well, I hope your balls are feeling better. And your wife is here podcasting, getting your nuts tore off. All right, let's talk about Phineas Cage. Gage, shall we?
Okay.
I'm going to call this guy's Cage all through the show. It's Phineas Gage. He's been called, Dominique, a medical miracle.
I have been called a medical miracle, too.
Yeah. Phineas Gage was a railway worker in Vermont, Dominique. He was responsible for clearing rocks away in order to for railroad tracks to be laid down. It's a pretty important job, when you think, in the founding of our country and connecting the railroad from the east
also
to west.
Also pretty high risk.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The workers' comp was pretty high for those people.
Non-existent. What year was this?
This is 1848.
Yeah, there was no workers' comp.
For the biggest rocks, he would drill a hole and use an iron rod to tamp down explosives into the middle of the hole before lighting a fuse. So it sounds pretty risky, you say.
Sounds like a fun job to me.
Well, on September 13th, 1848, something went awry.
One of the other guys said, Phineas said to one of the other guys, here, hold my beer.
There was an explosion, Dominique, and a 3-foot, 7-inch, 13.5-pound iron bar blew through Phineas's skull. taking a chunk of his brain with it.
That's gotta hurt.
The accident left a gaping hole and finish his head, yet somehow he survived.
He wasn't doing the New York Times crossword puzzle after that.
Oh man, you need the Advil then, man. Yeah. All right, let me tell you about his early life. Then we'll build up to this momentous occasion.
I think Phineas already climaxed there.
All right, so Phineas Gage was the oldest of 5 children born to Jesse Gage and his wife Hannah. I like the name Hannah. They were from Grafton County, New Hampshire, Dominique.
That's a nice place.
Mm-hmm. You been there?
I've been there.
All right, fucking liar. Little was known about his upbringing and education beyond the fact.
Fuck no, he couldn't remember it after having a 13-pound spike go through his head.
Little was known about his upbringing and education beyond the fact that he was literate, so he could write his name. He dropped out of school after the 3rd grade to help his family. Yeah, that's a good kid, good son. He was a happy-go-lucky child, although being the oldest, he was responsible for help raising his siblings. Very responsible young man. He was an overprotective big brother who watched over his younger brothers and sisters like a hawk. You can relate to that. If they ran into a bully at school, Phineas would always step in and take care of it.
Hmm.
So he's a good big brother. He was well liked in the community. He was always helping others. There was a widow who lived next door. He would do her farm work after his chores was completed for the day. So, good guy.
Or he was, you know, banging now the widow next door.
No.
How old was he?
In third grade?
No, he was older by then. He was probably 16.
Yeah. I've got no...
Got the lonely widow over there. Hey, Phineas, come weed my garden. Because
it's like, you know, it's like if you have a milkshake every day. You have opium every day for 3 years. And all of a sudden, you don't have any opium anymore. Get desperate.
Okay. Are you talking about the widow needing to get laid? Are you talking about...
Are you having a stroke?
Do you need some opium?
Yeah. Well, do you have any? No. All right. Don't offer. Unless you have some.
What happened for 3 years?
I'm just saying he helped the lady next door. Like, she was having sex with her husband until she became a widow.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
It was an analogy.
Okay. How do you know? Maybe she was like 85.
Yeah, he wasn't banging her. I just...
85-year-old woman need loving too, you know?
Yeah, not really.
They just need a little bit more. No. Just get that aircraft oil.
They're just
oil.
Enjoying their last few years after their husband's died.
They're just, they're happy with just a heating pad. So...
And silence.
And silence.
And cats.
Yeah, so he's living next door to, you know, this little lady lives next door. He helps her out after he does. So he's a good guy. The town doctor, they interviewed the town doctor later on. And, his name was John Martin Harlow. And he described Phineas as a perfectly healthy, strong, and active young man of average temperament. He was 5'6", had 5'6", average weight. He weighed 150 pounds.
They were short. He was
muscular. So, you know, pretty healthy guy.
They interviewed the doctor after his injury.
Because this becomes a big medical miracle, and a lot of people study this case.
Well, shit, yeah, be a miracle today.
Yeah. So,
we should.
A lot of, like.
Try it out later.
neurologists and things study this case to determine if his personality and stuff changed due to this accident. So anyway,
did it hit his frontal lobe?
Yeah, yeah.
So his personality changed. I'm gonna go with a yes on that.
It did, but there's just differing opinions on it. But we'll get into it.
We got to build up to that.
Yeah. So
he's painting a picture here.
Yeah, and this is building the foundation.
Pictures getting a little.
Well, anyway, so Phineas Gage worked with explosives on his farm as a youth. And so he was used to working around explosives. When he got older, he worked on construction on the Hudson River Railroad in New York. By the time the accident happened, he was a blasting foreman.
Wait, did you say working on a farm is how he got?
No, he worked on with explosives when he was younger on the farm, like blowing up stumps, tree stumps, or whatever. And then when he got older, he got a job working on a railroad, also using explosives, and he became what was called a blasting foreman, which I guess was the person who was blasting the rocks and stuff to make room for the railroad. All right, so on September 13th, 1848, around 4:30 p.m., I try to be precise in these scripts.
Well, I like the way you fill in the details.
Right, thank you, Chris.
It's your like Van Gogh's Starry Night. If it weren't for the stars, there would be no. It'd just be a Van Gogh's night.
These scripts are very precise.
Thank you. Now the reason why this is important: 4:30 in the afternoon, Colonel. You know, your mind starts to wander about that time.
About 4:30, I'm almost done with the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, most of us are. Your
done
mind
with the
starts...
day, you already at home. What the hell are you talking about? You get here at 4 o'clock in the morning. So.
I do. But for the person who works an average day, by the time you're in late afternoon, you're.
That's for people who have jobs.
That's when that's when accidents happen, right? Because you're not as attentive, right? Yeah. So the mind starts to wander. So he was Phineas filled a hole to drill, or he drilled a hole and filled it with gunpowder. All right.
Did he fill a hole with gunpowder that he had previously drilled?
Yes, precisely.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
But it was 4:30, so his mind was wondering. He needed a Snickers bar.
It's only two here.
I think the if somebody else here has a spike in their frontal lobe.
So he filled filled this hole with gunpowder. He drilled a hole in the ground, filled it with gunpowder, and as he lit the explosive, he turned his head to check on his men because he was a foreman, right? So people are not sure if someone called his name, but for some reason he was distracted. He turned his head.
That doesn't seem to be the best time to be distracted.
Well, it was the last normal moment of his life.
That was a dick move. Yeah. He called his name.
Yeah. Hey, goodies, check this out.
Hey, boss, over here. Gage's crew members were loading some busted rock onto a cart, and they apparently distracted him.
My bad.
Accounts differ about what happened after Gage turned his head.
Nobody wanted to take responsibility for that one.
Accounts differ, yeah. Wasn't me. You got 13 don't guys look at saying, me. Wasn't me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
I was in the bathroom.
All right. So, but anyway, the one report says that he tried to tamp down the gunpowder with his head, while his head was still turned. So he's not paying attention to what he's doing. You always got to pay attention when you're using gunpowder.
Gunpowder.
And this should be a lesson to all of our listeners out there. If you're tapping down some gunpowder, don't be distracted.
It's like being at the gun range and being on your cell phone at the same time.
That's not a good idea.
You don't want to text and shoot.
You also should not snort gunpowder. Did you know that?
I agree.
I didn't. Is that what happened to you?
No.
So like, what made you so mean?
Kid soldiers over in Africa, one of the things they do once they, quote, recruit them, kidnap them, is force them to snort this mixture that has gunpowder in it. It makes them really, really aggressive and insane.
Yeah.
And then they just force them to keep snorting it over and over, and that's how they get them to do these terrible things. Don't ever snort gunpowder, guys.
Yeah. Public service announcement. The more you know.
It's a $300 day habit. So anyway, he's got his head turned, and he brushed up against something that created a spark.
And what? That doesn't make sense.
He shouldn't be wearing flint pants while he's working with gunpowder.
He had some scrap. All right. So there's some scrap iron there. It's rubbing. He turns. Something happens. There's a spark.
You want no help with the research?
Well.
He was living in a powder keg and giving off sparks, Timmy. Ain't that Bonnie Tyler?
Yeah. Which I never understood that fucking song.
Neither did I.
It's a cool song.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're living in a powder keg, you're not going to give off sparks. You're going to give off one spark, Timmy.
Right.
And then you're not going to give off any more sparks.
It's a metaphor. Do you know what a metaphor is?
A metaphor?
Can you define a metaphor?
Yeah. I could if I wanted.
Will you?
No, I'd like to go on with the show, Timmy.
Okay, thank you. regardless of how it happened.
You're the biggest dummy I know.
It's immaterial. Yeah. Regardless of how it happened, a spark shot out somewhere in the dark cavity.
From his flint pants.
Well, somebody else blamed his assistant. I don't want...
It's like a game of Clue.
I don't want to besmirch his assistant. I don't know. I don't have a name for his assistant, so I don't want to besmirch him. But anyway, for some reason, this catches on fire, right? It ignites the gunpowder, and this rod that was in the ground, this tampering rod, flies up. And it goes through his head. The iron bar enters Gage's, Phoenix's Gage's point first, striking below his left cheekbone.
Oh my God.
That's going to leave a scar.
So it fucked up all his teeth?
I think the teeth was the least of his concern once it hit the brain.
Wait,
continuing upward, outside the upper jaw, and possibly fracturing the cheekbone, it passed behind his left eye. He lost his iris. through the left side of his brain and out the top of his skull through his frontal lobe. It destroyed the upper molar and tore into the underbelly of his brain's left frontal lobe. All right. Poor guy. This is tragic. This is terrible. Don't laugh.
What a poor bastard.
Sad.
You have two Walters in the room. This is what we laugh at.
A fucking 3 foot, 7 inch, 13 and a half pound iron bar just blew through this guy's head.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was walking around saying, motherfucker, who created the spark in here? God damn it. Son of a bitch, I knew I couldn't count on you. Could you people do one thing right as he's got this bar? I wonder, did the bar make his head fall over? How do you stand up with a 13-pound bar in your head?
Well, he didn't. It went straight through.
Oh, it didn't get stuck. Okay.
No, it went straight through.
It could have hit somebody else.
It could have.
I wonder if Phineas has safety glasses on.
I don't think
he should have had safety glasses.
All right, so
it went.
I'm getting to it. It plowed through the top of his skull, exiting near the midline, just behind where his hairline started.
Hmm.
So this thing came in his cheekbone, you know, like diagonally right through
his
head.
Is that the noise it made?
I don't know what kind of noise.
How far did it travel after that?
Wait a minute. I think like 25 yards. It plowed through the top of his skull. Okay, like I said that. After shooting upward, one report claimed it whistled as it flew.
No, that was just the wind going through his head.
How did you miss that opportunity?
The rod landed 25 yards away and stuck upright in the dirt.
It was like a spear.
That rod didn't give no fucks.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. What's the chances of that? Witnesses described it as a streak with red and green it was red and greasy to touch from the fatty brain tissue on, you know, so this spike's got blood and
so you're not going to use it to roast marshmallows,
right? No,
after that,
no, maybe
brain splatter.
Yeah
The rod's momentum threw Phineas backwards. And he landed hard.
Wait, did his feet come off the ground?
Yeah, he knocked him down. But amazingly, he never lost consciousness.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. Somebody, please put me down.
Go get that spike. Do that one more time. Yeah.
Drive that motherfucker through my heart this time. Because his shit hurts.
Can I get a fucking Percocet this prescription now? What else do I need, doctor?
Did they just rub gunpowder into the wound, or?
Well, no, Phineas is knocked down. He merely twitched a few times on the ground.
Wait, does gunpowder have that same quality? Is it numbing?
No.
Oh, I don't know. And he was talking and walking again within minutes. Not coherently. No, actually, he was. He felt steady enough to climb into an ox cart after someone grabbed the reins, and then they drove him into town, into a town called Cavendish. It was a mile away. So they take him to this hotel where he was staying.
In an ox cart?
Yeah, in an ox cart. He gets up. He's conscious. He walks to the ox cart, sits down. You're figuring, it's 4:30.
Hey, don't forget to clock me out.
Let's call this a day. So
I might not be in tomorrow.
Okay. You okay there? Dominique's dying over there.
I'm just wondering if the widow still wanted him.
Yeah, he won't be mowing the lawn anytime soon. So anyway, so they take him to
the... You've heard the term, but Phineas actually got skull fucked.
We're Phineas. So he went to, they take him to the hotel where he was staying, right? And he gets, and he settled into a chair on the front porch and chatted with passerbys.
They took him to a hotel?
Yeah, well, his hotel where he was staying at, while he was working there.
They
took him in. Instead of going to his room, he just kind of grabbed a seat on the front porch.
They skipped the hospital.
Yeah, they didn't have any hospitals. So,
well, surely they had a doctor.
I'll get to that. They went to get a doctor. The first doctor to arrive was a guy named Dr. Edward H. Williams. He could see, even from his carriage, a volcano of upturned bone jouting out of Gage's scalp.
He could see there was a problem.
This is good. Gage greeted the doctor by angling his head and deadpanning, "Here's business enough for you."
Do you take Medicaid?
His doctor's thinking, "Hey, I'm not going to make it home for dinner." Yeah. Dr. Williams noticed the wound opened, the wound upon the head before getting out of his carriage, so he could see it. It was pulsating, and he could see the brain pulsating from his carriage. The top of his head appeared somewhat like an inverted funnel.
This is like Walking Dead shit.
As if some wedge-shaped body had passed from below upward, which it kind of did, right?
Inverted funnel. So like a funnel is on top of his head.
Yeah.
He looked like the Tin Man.
Like he could see. I mean, he could see from his carriage, he could see the guy's brain pulsating.
Well, that'd be cool. Now, that's when you need a cell phone to get video.
Yes.
If they would have had cell phones, that would have been viral. That would have been viral, yeah.
During the time he was being examined, Phineas Gage related a manner in which he was injured to the doctor and some people standing bystanders. The doctor did not believe Mr. Gage's statement at the time.
What do you think he was fucking faking?
You're not getting that narcotic script. Nice try.
You can still take Tylenol, you son of a bitch.
All right, maybe some coding. That's it. Yeah. Phineas persisted in saying that the bar had went through his head. Then, without saying a word, he got up, stood up, and vomited. The effort of vomited pressed out as he was vomiting. It pressed out about a half a teacup full of brain, which fell up on the floor.
Oh God.
The doctor then now was believing his story.
That's what it took brains to hit the floor to believe him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hard fucking case right here, man.
A couple hours later, Gage's family doctor, the guy we talked about before, Dr. John Martin Harlow, he would take this case and, you know, go lecture on it and stuff. He arrived at the hotel and took charge of the case. And now Dominique is going to tell us what happens next. Poor Phineas Gage. You guys are laughing at a man that's got this. Oh, in his fucking head.
I'm going to show you something that's going to blow your mind, Phineas.
Well, that's an unusual piercing.
Tim, in our family, we don't get many things to laugh at that don't involve somebody else's pain. With Dr. Williams' assistance, Dr. Harlow shaved the scalp around the region of the tamping iron's exit, then removed coagulated blood, small bone fragments, and an ounce of protruding brain. An ounce. That's a lot of brain matter.
I would think it would be. I wonder if it took out the math part. Or if, like, the guy couldn't find his car keys from then on. You know what I mean?
So basically, Chuck would be empty at this point.
It didn't take out the common sense part because he clearly didn't have that to start with. Yeah. After probing for foreign bodies and replacing two large detached pieces of bone.
I'm going to say that I have probed for foreign bodies before. in Thailand, in Cambodia, Timmy, Indonesia.
We don't need to know what lose inside yourself, okay?
No, you have probed foreign bodies. You're not probed for foreign bodies.
No, I think he's done both.
Well, I think he has done both.
You have to probe for them before you can probe.
Before they leave, you got to probe them to make sure they ain't got your wallet.
And right, exactly. Yeah. Continue. Please continue, Jesus Dominique. Christ.
So Harlow closed the wound with adhesive straps, leaving it partially open for drainage.
And, you know, it would be a fun little game to play, you know, like ring toss or something. You know, put a stick up there. And you could jump as a carny.
You could get piggyback rides and steering. Turn right.
All right, so he's got a little hole in his head, basically.
I have no doubt that this man's entire future career is as a carny. There's nothing else for him. So, the entrance wound in his cheek was bandaged only loosely for the same reason. A wet compress was applied, then a nightcap, then further bandaging to secure these dressings. Dr. Harlow also dressed Gage's head and hands and forearms, which, along with his face, had been deeply burned.
I don't really think that was priority.
Yeah. Motherfucker, put the aloe down, goddammit. I ain't worried about that.
You're focused on my head. Yeah. The hole in my head, please.
Yeah.
Where the brain is oozing out.
Don't worry about my sunburn.
Let's get that before you worry about my arm.
Burns are very, very dangerous.
Yeah, but you know why?
So are gaping head wounds.
The infected wounds.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but when your brain is oozing out of your head.
When it's falling out onto the floor, when you're losing it an ounce at a time.
You really have to, you know, you have to prioritize. Yeah. There's some, what's that called?
Prioritizing?
Yeah, but what do they call
triage.
It?
Triage.
Triage needs to happen. Yeah. And the arm is important, but, you know, when your brain is oozing down your face.
Well, most times you're trying to stop the bleeding. In this case, you're just trying to stop the braining. It's just...
Well, you know, if you keep wiping your eyes and stuff because you got your brain is Jesus running down your forehead.
God. Oh, and so then he ordered that Gage's head be kept elevated.
Seems reasonable. You know what?
Everything's gonna be okay. Yeah.
We're gonna do the rice thing, some rest, ice cold,
whatever you
in
do.
Elevation.
Whatever you do, don't look down.
No headstands, Phineas.
That shit's just gonna fall out. Yeah. So
don't tie your shoes.
Go get the widow next door. Take care of you. So late that evening, Dr. Harlow noted, quote, mind clear, constant agitation of his legs being alternately retracted and extended. Like,
he got the Jimmy legs.
He's got restless legs in him.
Yeah.
Like the shafts of a fueling mill.
You like that? Like that turn of phrase?
I think it was... too soon. Says he, quote, does not care to see his friends as he shall be at work in a few days.
Maybe ready already go back to work.
Well, some people are dedicated like that. You know me, Timmy.
Yeah, I know.
I had my vasectomy. I was here the next day.
You don't let that little thing like a hole in your head keep you from
hell no.
You had your vasectomy. You were here the next day, and then you played in a softball tournament 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe any of that.
No, that's true.
I don't believe any of it.
Ask Renee.
I think you're a giant liar.
I have a high tolerance for pain.
I think that you have weaved a web of lies about your vasectomy, and now you can't get out of them.
It's kind of became lore.
Right? The legendary vasectomy of the colonel.
Okay, so Phineas is ready to go back. He thinks he's going back to work in a few days.
He's very optimistic about his prognosis.
He also thinks he's the president.
He's Napoleon. Yeah. No need for that FMLA paperwork.
Yeah. No. See, he's
And good. You know what? Now that they're putting this healthcare thing together, I think Phineas would be a good model for this.
I mean, go there because
I mean, you just everybody going to the doctor for every little ache and pain and everything else. This some bitch got a hole in his head and he's going back to work. I think that's when America was great to me.
Yeah. Well,
you got a hole in your
you
head.
Think
you
think 1848 back. Is when America was great?
Well, when just when somebody gets a hole in their head, I don't know. I wasn't alive in 1848.
Is that when you think America was great?
I wasn't alive back then. But all I'm saying is that motherfucker get a hole in his head, he go back to work. Now that's salt of the earth people right there.
Let's see what happens.
You're lucky I'm going to carry on because I'd love to cross-examine you on your thoughts of 1848. So, as it turns out, Dr. Williams and Dr. Harlow were less optimistic than Phineas.
They're a little bit more cautious. Yeah. You got some brain matter coming out of your rolling down your forehead.
Well, you didn't have no paid sick leave back then.
You had to work.
No. Yeah. Both doctors felt that this was only a matter of hours or perhaps minutes before Gage would succumb to his injuries. The local
I don't know why that's funny, but okay. So they think he's a goner.
The local undertaker was noticed and came to the hotel to measure Gage for a coffin. What a dick move.
He's really a tailor. Don't worry.
But in fairness, I mean, get a head start on things. Because you don't know how Phineas wants to go out. I mean, do you want the pine Phineas? Would you like the walnut?
But think about it. You're in a hotel room. You got a hole in your head. You got brain matter rolling down your forehead. And then this little undertaker comes in with his, with his, you know, his measuring tape.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Well.
Also, we've measured you, Chuck. Just so you know.
I'm actually going to get a coffin.
That woman with the tape measure, she wasn't a prostitute. You're right. You're not getting a coffin. Anyway, let's see. Gage did not appreciate this effort and ran the undertaker away with a butcher knife. He insisted he was fine and would make a full recovery in no time.
Monty Python movie. Bring out your dead. No, I'm fine.
Gage's convalescence.
It's a flesh wound.
Long, difficult, and uneven, however. Though recognizing his mother and uncle, summoned from Lebanon, New Hampshire, 30 miles away. Can you imagine going through all that and then the person you fucking recognize, the one person, is your fucking uncle? God, just kill me now.
Fuck. Hello, Dom.
I'd pretend to not know you. I'd be like, I know my mom. Yeah. I don't know who the fuck you are, but I got a butcher knife.
Yeah. I'd be taking pictures. You'd be all over Facebook.
Check out my niece, Dominique. She's got a hole in her head.
Bitch all brainy before, but look at her now.
So they were summoned on the morning of his accident, and on the second day, he, quote, lost control of his mind and became decidedly delirious.
I don't think he actually lost control of it. I think it was gone.
By the fourth day, he was again, quote, rational. And knew his friends.
All right.
And after a week's further improvement, Dr. Harlow entertained for the first time the thought that it was possible for Gage to recover. The first week after the accident, Gage would have some good days and some bad. On some days, Phineas would be coherent enough to enjoy a game of pinochle with his friends. Well, another time.
You know what? No matter how well I felt, if I had a hole in my head, I wouldn't be playing fucking pinochle. Yeah.
If my life came down to my brain dripping out if I bent over and playing pinochle for fun.
You think they let him win?
I know my grandma wouldn't. You know, my grandma, I used to play Chinese checkers with him or with her. She when she was in like her 65. Did you just stop?
No, you're good.
You better record this story. This is a good story.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When I was like 5-6 years old, and she would beat me over and over until I cried, and then she just beat me more. But you know what? To this day, not a fucking person in this world who can beat me at Chinese checkers. I say, don't let this son of a bitch win at Pinochle.
Have you ever played a Chinaman, though?
Do they call it Chinese checkers in China?
That is not the proper nomenclature. No,
they just call it checkers.
Checkers? Yeah.
It's like food.
Dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Do you guys not know what I'm talking about? I'm quoting The Big Lebowski. You guys
Oh, yes, it is. I know. I didn't catch it.
Dude, Chinaman?
I thought you were just...
Jesus okay. Christ.
How long was the Chinaman?
I'm sorry.
Continue, please.
Now, we'll give... Okay, so... But do you think when he was playing, he'd throw out a card and be like, oh, look, the turtle of ponies? Because he didn't know what the fuck space
this
or anything
This is the one thing
was.
I can tell you. If you ever have a massive head injury and we end up playing a game, I will never let you win. Ever well, once.
But you know
what? I would not play anything more difficult than Uno.
That's a hard game anyway. You got to hold all those cards.
You fucking idiot.
It is.
Uno's a hard game.
If you're colorblind, it is.
You are not colorblind.
You know what makes it even more difficult?
If you're blind.
If you got a big rod. Hole in your head. if a 13-pound rod goes through your head.
You know, nobody, because, you know, they'd say he had.
Because you know what? Every time he got down to one card, you know he forgot to say Uno. Fuck, forgot again. That part of my brain rolled out yesterday.
Had that whole discard pile in his hand by the end of the game. Anyway, my God. Oh, so 12 days after the accident, Gage fell into a semi-comatose state. While in this state, he would seldom speak unless spoken to, and then answering only in monosyllables. On the 13th day, Dr. Harlow noted, quote, failing strength, coma deepened, the globe of the left eye became more protuberant.
Protuberant?
Protruding?
Protuberant?
I think it's supposed to be protruding.
All right. Sometimes spell check doesn't catch him. Yeah. Okay. That must be a real word, because spell check would have caught it.
Remember when Michael Scott had a protuberance on his elbow?
That is a protuberance. Actually, a protuberance is a real word.
I know it is.
All right.
Tim's going to kill us.
No, you're fine.
You just painted a picture in a color we don't get.
Yes. All right. So 12 days, 13 days goes by.
Oh, and he had with fungus.
Ooh. Oh, the fungus, not fungi. The fungus.
He had deteriorated, infected brain tissue pushing out rapidly from the wounded brain and coming out of the top of his head. This is really gross.
They didn't have no duct tape back
I
then.
I would not mention that on my Tinder profile.
Must have very specific fetish. Yeah. PM
that's,
for details.
That's more of a back page kind of thing.
That's a second date.
Yeah. Yeah, but your first date, you show up all skanky with your head off.
You wear a hat.
That's more of an East McMicken hooker kind. Remember that doghouse they found the hookers were using? Yeah, that's the only place this guy's getting
laid. Wait a minute. You have to explain that. So hookers were using a doghouse?
Well, there was this. So down in OTR, this was on.
Over the Rhine here in Cincinnati.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There was this house that the cops found. And I say house, but it was like the size of a doghouse and filled with blankets.
It was like a big storage shed, really. a small storage shed.
But what it was a place where prostitutes brought Johns. Okay. But these are prostitutes.
It was a love motel.
But these are the level of prostitute where really it's just an act because you need a truck. Right. Nobody's washing these blankets, okay? Right. Nobody's putting mints on the pillow. And so anyway, they discovered it. And the cops, I mean, they opened it and they said just the smell alone, they were like, I cannot believe that people suck cock in this. We're like, they come here to get their dick sucked.
You know, I never really thought about it, but I prefer a scented candle.
To
come. I mean, I'm just saying, when I'm being romantical, I'd like to light some scented candles.
I went to this
cinnamon. I prefer cinnamon.
They had this porn theater in Dayton.
Oh my god!
And I went in there one time. And
no.
I swear to God, you would walk, and your shoes would stick to the floor. Oh my god, it was so gross.
But you know what?
I left after 4 hours. No way I was standing anymore.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you who I have a ton of sympathy for, and that is Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. You know, everybody made him out to be a pedophile, but you know, all he did was
In a theater.
In an adult, movie theater. Exactly. It was just
which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. But everybody was like, he's a pedophile.
Was looking at gay porn.
No, they associate. Yeah. I think they just associate it as a pedophile because he had done kids shows. But I mean, he had not done any act with kids.
Well, my point is, I always felt so bad for him because of how homophobic society was. It was like he couldn't be a gay man who did kids shows.
Ruined his career,
like Mr. Rogers, right? Gay man did kids shows.
No, Mr. Rogers was cool. Wasn't gay.
I'm pretty sure he was gay.
No, he was stud, man. Mr. Rogers was.
I'm telling you, a gay man would not have worn that sweater.
Okay, I think everybody in this room is gay. So,
all our gay brothers and sisters.
We do, but no, Mr. Rogers had more ass getting thrown at him than he knew what to do with.
Yeah, he was actually a good guy. He did a lot of good stuff outside of his television show.
Okay, first of all, Pee Wee Herman was an incredible guy.
No, I like Pee Wee
Herman. He was hysterical.
Mr. Rogers was an incredible guy. Okay,
no singing.
I am a member of the LGBT community, so please do not infer that I'm being homophobic in any way.
No, we're not.
And I'm pretty sure, based on the past two comments you two have made, that you're both bi-curious.
I just like his sweaters.
I like Pee Wee.
I'm not curious at all, actually.
I'm certain of it.
So.
You know that question mark they added at the LGBT thing?
You mean the Q?
The Q, yeah, whatever it is. I think I walk around with that Q in my back pocket sometimes.
You should bring another man in. Then maybe my Aunt Nene could be satisfied for once.
Oh, how did I see that coming, Timmy?
You know, instead of the Q, it should just be like a dollar sign, like if the price is right.
We'll just go with it.
Let's roll with that.
All right, back to Phineas.
So
poor Phineas. Man's got a hole in his head, and we're not thinking.
Wonder if he could get a Woody.
I don't know.
I'm sure he could.
No, sometimes you have a head injury. It'll mess you up.
Like, well, it's not getting any head.
Oh, God. Well, he was getting bad head.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Can a head injury really... I mean, that's totally physiological. It's just...
It absolutely did it to my father.
Yeah. His father couldn't get wood.
No. No, that's the truth. He had to fall down the basement steps, fractured his skull. That's what caused all his problems. And my mother said that what she thought made him gave him a tipping point was
be psychological.
With head injuries, it can cause some kind of.
All right. Well, this is the 18 millionth time I've heard this story about my grandfather. Also, can I tell you something about my grandfather? My grandfather, who you've obviously shared,
yeah,
committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was adopted, my mother gave the adoption agency a bunch of information, non-identifying information about my biological family.
Yeah.
Well, my mother, God rest her soul, apparently didn't have a lot of scruples and felt absolutely no guilt lying about any of this information.
So she made up stuff?
So I grew up thinking
somebody else was her father.
I was half Greek. That a guy was my father who wasn't my dad. She said it was my dad because my Uncle Chuck had already beat him up. And she didn't want him to beat up my real dad. I'm basically a Mamma Mia situation. And
confusing.
She said my grandfather died of a heart attack at 42 or 44. Yeah. So, you know, my entire life I've never had red meat because my parents raised me vegetarian because they were so afraid that terrible heart disease.
You couldn't get a Happy Meal at 13.
I've never had a hamburger in my life. I've never had a steak because my fucking mom couldn't just be like, yeah, we're all fucked in the head. Watch out for suicide. No, she was like, watch out for heart disease, which we have none of. You might have wanted to give him a heads up on, you know, the bipolar anxiety, depression, and suicide ideation we all have. Nope, skipped right over that.
Nope. Watch your cholesterol.
Yeah. Well, at least you, yeah. At least
put the girl on Lipitor.
Right. They were putting it in my bottle.
But it was a good, I mean, it was a good,
don't try it.
No, I'm just saying it was a healthy choice.
To lie about my...
Well, only that it led you to eat healthy, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah, all right. So, you know.
Anyway.
You jump off a bridge, perhaps.
But. Yeah. And my uncle only beat up one man. When apparently there were three choices, and at different points in time, my mother has sworn that it was one or the other of them.
That poor bastard.
Oh, but we all know it's the guy that's dead.
He's dead too.
Yeah, from a brain injury.
Oh, did he work on a railroad?
No, he had a motorcycle accident. Oh. At 23, so
that's sad.
I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry about that too, because he had ass whooping coming.
That's why you're sorry?
Yeah. Well,
you go beat up his brother. You play softball with him.
I just found this out in the last couple of years.
He's not beating anyone up now.
This is how fucked up our family is. He's been playing fucking softball with my biological uncle for 20 fucking years. But
no
he's
idea.
Like, oh, I don't know if he knows about you or not. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Fuck it. Just don't tell him. Yeah. I don't fucking need anyone else.
I know there's two outs.
Okay. Guys.
Yes. One last Dr. Christmas.
Harlow described the pus oozing out of Phineas's head, not unlike lava oozing out of the cone of a volcano.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Phineas kept a handkerchief handy to...
You know, I'm not going to be able to eat a Bavarian cream donut for a long time now.
This is fat.
this is a vile picture you
Phineas
painted to me.
Kept a handkerchief handy to wipe the pus away from his face.
What do you expect him to do?
As it rolled down his forehead. The yellowish...
Seems reasonable to me.
The yellowish and greenish pus included particles of brain mat. Timmy, I'm going to kick your ass for giving me this part of the script. After this is done, I'm seriously going to be escorted out of here by security. Phineas would show bystanders his handkerchief and say, here you go, boys, have a look at my brain.
Well, he had a sense of humor.
Well, you know, he didn't have to pay all that money for a PET scan. They could just get a magnifying glass.
For a what?
A PET scan. You know how they scan your brain with the PET scan?
A PET scan?
PET scan, P-E-T. Pumped on, P-E-T. It stands for something. God damn it, let me look it up.
CAT scan.
You mean a cat scan? No, are you refusing pets and cats?
All right, well, he looks it up. You can continue.
By the 14th day, Phineas's condition worsened. He fell into almost a complete comatose state, only mumbling monosyllables when aroused. Oh, so he could get aroused. Phineas stopped eating and would only take nourishment when strongly urged. The friends in attendance, expecting death was near, quietly prepared his coffin and clothes for the funeral.
Man, quietly this time.
They were really proactive in this guy's death. Although Dr. Harlow expected death at any minute, he continued to care for Phineas. Because that's what gentlemen do.
Well, yeah, he saw him as an opportunity to, you know, to write a paper on or something. You know what I mean? He was seeing him as a medical subject.
Yeah. Dr. Harlow, quote, cut off the fungi, which were sprouting out from the top of the brain and filling the opening, and made free application of crystalline silver nitrate to them. At the time,
they couldn't just use a weed whacker. Got to clean your head again, Finnegan.
In 1848, do you think they had weed whackers?
You don't need a doctor. He needs a barber.
He needs a he needs a landscaper.
Use your brain.
Positron right. emission tomography.
All right. Very good, Colonel. You taught us something today.
That's what a PET scan is. It's used to scan. It's just like an MRI.
I thought it was like something you would use.
They use it to scan for tumors and whatnot.
I still don't believe you.
I thought it was something they used to check on the health of your dog.
It's right here. There's a picture of somebody getting a PET scan right there.
Or when you go to the pet store and you buy a dog, they run and cross this. Yeah.
When you get them chipped.
You get the barcode. All right.
So, let's see. Cutting off the fungi. At the time, few doctors had the experience with cerebral abscess. But Dr. Harlow, however, was the exception, as he had studied treatment of cerebral abscess extensively in medical school.
So he lucked out.
This simple fact likely saved Phineas's life. What a weird coincidence. So this abscess slowly began to heal. Phineas slowly came out of his comatose state and started to feel better. On the 24th day, Gage succeeded in rising himself up and took one step to his chair. 1 month later, he was walking, quote, up and down stairs and about the house, and even ventured outside, because let's be honest, he wanted to see if the widow was still there. Yeah. After 5 weeks, Dr. Harlow thought his patient well enough that Dr. Harlow could visit his family in Maine for a week. So the doctor's going
away. That's a dedicated doctor right there.
The doctor's going away.
While the doctor was away, Phineas soon developed a fever and took a turn for the worse.
How could he have all that infection and no fever before?
I don't know.
He's a medical miracle.
He is.
Kind of seems like Dr. Harlow is the...
I think Dr. Harlow had Munchausen's by proxy thing.
I'm pretty sure.
Finnegan could have been getting better all along. He was just kept whacking his brain down in there, making it swell.
I think maybe he had the opposite, considering the fact that he got worse when the doctor went. Do you know what Munchausen is?
Yeah, it's when you don't really.
No, I know that you know. I'm wondering. Right.
It's when you
the dummy across from me knows.
Take your kids and break the fingers so you can go to the doctor.
No, that's not what that is.
That maybe that's just child abuse.
Munchausen's by proxy is when you convince doctors that your children have medical ailments that they do not have in order to get treatment, but you don't generally.
And you kind of it's a psychological thing, so that you feel you get sympathy for the fact.
Oh, okay.
Although some people use it to get benefits or whatever.
Right. There was that Gypsy Rose documentary that just came out that, you know, where she and her boyfriend killed her mom.
Yeah.
Her mom had, like.
Logan got the rickets.
My brother had rickets.
Did he?
Yeah. Logan had rickets.
I don't know. I'm just trying to get some sympathy.
Oh, yeah. Me too. My brother didn't have rickets.
My brother's got the crabs.
Logan got the chlamydia.
Okay, back to Phineas.
Okay. So let's see. Upon Dr. Harlow's return, Phineas's condition seemed to improve drastically.
Ooh, coincidence? I think not. Right? Maybe it's having medical care.
His fever now gone, Phineas was able to stand up straight, walk around, and carry on normal conversations. 10 weeks after his injury, Gage was strong enough to return to his parents' home in Lebanon, New Hampshire, traveling there in a closed carriage. This was the type of carriage that was used to transport mentally ill patients at the time.
That's all they had.
It was a rubber carriage.
Oh, my God.
Straight jacket.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Though he was weak and feeble.
Be careful on that. Be careful. Don't hit those bumps on the road. I'm losing more brain matter.
I need someone with a little more headroom because mine's protruding an extra 6 inches out of.
It's making me so sad.
It's a shame they didn't have helmets back then.
Did he still have the yellow and green pus coming out of his head?
Most definitely. Mm. In the little town of Lebanon, New Hampshire, Phineas became a local celebrity. And he was also able to walk upright and normally carry on normal conversations. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Unlike you, what you're doing right now.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
See? There's the devil.
Tourists flocked from nearby cities.
Wait, what?
Tourists flocked from nearby cities to catch a glimpse of the man with a hole in his head.
Just think.
What about the hole in his cheek?
What if he would have moved to a town that had that place that had the largest ball of yarn? Uh-huh. They could have been a fucking metropolis built around those two.
I would go see him if he was nearby.
I would see him, yeah. Probably stank a little bit, but.
Nothing like that doghouse.
No, not like the doghouse.
Or the theaters that Tim apparently goes to.
A long
did that
time
place,
ago.
Did it just reek of semen?
Semen has such a disgusting smell. Gross, yeah.
Do you guys think semen smells disgusting?
Yes. I think it smells like bleach.
What?
Bleach.
What's wrong with your semen? Oh my God. I don't want to know what's wrong with your semen. But something's wrong. Go see Dr. Lumpy. Well,
I've never, you know, wiped it under my nose or anything. I just get a bit of a bleachy.
What about Renee? Have you ever simbed Renee?
Ash Wednesday.
It's probably Renee sanitizing you before engaging in any type of relationship.
She does use those Clorox wipes a lot. We got some of those by our bed. I don't know.
It is a pretty disgusting smell.
It's disgusting.
I don't know how I would describe it.
Well,
fresh semen is not as bad. It's just it's the stale
semen. It's
a
stale semen.
I don't know what stale semen smells like.
Oh, semen gone bad is no. It's just
spoiled semen.
Yeah, spoiled
I'm an
semen.
Adult who lives in a clean home.
Yeah, you got it. No.
Well,
I also spent many, many years dating women and not men, so I don't.
As a former tube sock owner.
Oh God!
After about 3 weeks, you got to change those things out, Timmy.
Yeah.
You jacked off in the same sock for 3 weeks?
Oh, he was going to rotate a bunch between the left and the right.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to create a bunch
of. He's not an animal.
Yeah, I'd turn it inside out.
You had three pair of underwear, and you'd shower with one of them on to make sure they're clean. But
exactly.
You used the same tube sock for 3 weeks.
Well, I didn't wear the sock, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but you put your dick in it.
No, you don't. Did you? That ain't no. I don't.
I actually.
I don't think you know how this works.
I think he's saying he would shoot onto the sock.
No,
into the sock. How?
It's a technique that's hard to without people being able to see us. It's hard to explain, but you know you got to get the extra large stretchy sock, and
I feel so disgusting.
Well,
right
you
now.
Know, we were fortunate enough to get a lot of new subscribers this past week
that we just lost.
We can just take all this out.
We don't edit.
I'm personally going to go jab a rail through my brain so I don't have to think
you
about
You opened
my
a
uncle.
Line of questioning
okay.
on this.
So by late December 1848. Oh, wait.
Yes.
Most of the time, Phineas would honor requests to view his wound by simply bowing and tipping his cap, exposing the large hole in his head.
Did stuff keep falling
out?
Would,
ew! He would allow children to poke their fingers in his head and touch his brain.
That's fucking cool.
That's fucking that disgusting.
Cool. I charge at least $1.
Now, see, I wonder if he touched different parts of his brain, like with his arm jerk. Like, Here, Phineas, we're going to make you dance. Play his brain like the piano.
Oh, my God. I don't let my kids touch me until I've washed their hands after they eat.
No, don't touch. Why back there. I saw it.
There is not a, there is not a 12-year-old alive that wouldn't give his left nut to touch his brain.
But what if he hit that hit the brown note on his brain where he soils himself every time he touches it? Right? It's like, oh, no, my bowels are gone.
But how did he not die of infection?
Well, apparently, a medical miracle.
He's already fought off enough infection to not worry about it.
Because kids are gross. By late December 1848, Phineas was improving both mentally and physically. By February 1849, he was able to do work around the farm, including feeding and caring for the horses, yard work, and feeding the cattle. When spring arrived, Phineas was strong and stable enough to plow the field and do half a day's work.
All right.
Well, Phineas is getting along real well here. But although physically he was getting back to normal, his personality began to change somewhat. Just a wee
cranky.
Bit. Well, he was described as going from being well-liked and professionally successful to fitful, irreverent, and grossly profane. It sounds like my niece over there. Yeah. Showing little deference for his fellows. Now he was reportedly unreliable, partial to swearing, and often making inappropriate remarks. I'm stuck calling you Phineas. Phineas was gruff and no longer happy-go-lucky. He also seemed to lose all of his inhibitions, both in a social and emotional context. It was not uncommon.
What are you doing?
Oh, she's eating cheese. Meanwhile, it was not uncommon for Phineas to make unwanted sexual advances and even remove his clothing in public settings. He was described as being gross, profane, and intolerable to decent society, which actually I've been accused of before, too. Meanwhile, the story of Phineas' remarkable survival started making the rounds in the medical community. There was great speculation that his personality changes were the result of damage to his brain. Specifically, it was believed that the region of his brain injured must be the key to understanding human personality. It is also believed that these changes were grossly exaggerated. Later theories, though, suggest that if there were any real changes in Phineas' personality, it was due to post-traumatic stress more than damage to his brain.
You know what I think? I think the celebrity went to his head and he just jumped the shark.
Oh, he became Lindsay Lohan.
Exactly.
With a hole in his head.
He was like, going to take my clothes off and the ladies are just going to come.
They thought, early on, they thought there was a connection between the injury and his personality. But apparently it only lasted for a short time. Oh, his personality changes. So later on, the theory is now that it didn't really impact his personality, other than the fact, like you said, maybe post-traumatic stress from that.
Yeah, so they think that was it. But in November 1849, Henry Jacob Bigelow, the professor of surgery at Harvard Medical School, he brought in Phineas to Boston for several weeks, and after satisfying himself...
What?
Satisfying himself that the tamping on had actually passed through Gage's head, presented him to a meeting of the Boston Society for Medical Improvement and to the whole medical class, Timmy.
Yeah.
Now, this may have been one of the earliest cases of a patient entering a hospital primarily to further medical research rather than for treatment. Unable to return to work at the railroad because nobody trusted his ass with gunpowder anymore, Phineas became somewhat of a human museum. He started to appear at Barnum's American Museum, and he became a carny. The museum was owned by P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, it was a museum in New York City at the time.
It offered strange and educational attractions. For a nickel, curious customers could peer into Phineas's wound and even touch his wounded noggin.
You know, well, what, worth a nickel.
And you know what you could do for a quarter. Oh,
do you think anyone ever licked it?
I'd say back a dollar. Yeah.
Phineas, I'd like a little head, please. Phineas would stand on the platform.
Can and I lick your brain?
What would that feel like for either party?
You can't feel anything on your brain. Your brain has no nerve endings.
Oh, suddenly you're fucking...
Marcus Welby, goddammit. Motherfucker, I got MedMD or whatever, WebMD. I know.
You got MedMD? Is that where you get your PET scans?
Yeah. I get my PET scan. Now, Phineas would stand on a platform, describe his accident. Now, this would... But the rotten bastard would often embellish his story.
You know, if you have a fucking 13-pound rod go through your head.
I don't think you need to. Yeah, what are you going to add to that? Oh, and there was a tiger walking down along the side of the road.
It looked like Bigfoot.
Yeah. And the thing went... It was 30 yards after it passed. Oh, God damn it, Phineas, everybody knows it only went 25 yards. Why you got to lie about this?
And this happened in Area 51.
Yeah. It reminds me of the joke of the talking dog, Timmy.
What was that, Colonel?
A guy comes up, he's got a dog for sale, and he says, talking dog for sale. And he, this guy's interested, and he's like, I got to go see this talking dog. And, so he walks up as a German Shepherd, and he's like, okay, so you talk. Dog says, yeah. And Ona is standing there. He's like, ask him about himself. So the guy says, tell me a little bit about yourself, dog. And he's like, well, you know, I started as a puppy, and I was born right in about 1998. And then, you know, I grew up to be a trained dog. And then, you know, of course, 9/11 happened, and they went in and brought me in for, you know, the military and police used me for a bunch of stuff. Then after that, I went to Afghanistan, then went over to Iraq, you know, and helped with the military, won a bunch of medals over there. And
this is a joke?
This guy's fascinated with this dog. Uh-huh. And the guy's like, oh, God, I can't believe all this. And he's like, yeah, I was the only dog that got awarded a Medal of Valor and this and that. And he's like, I saved... Over 25 times I found IEDs, you know, to stop people from getting blown up. And he's like, God damn, this amazing, most amazing dog. And you gonna sell him? He's like, what? So he takes him away from the dog, down away from the dog. And he's like, you only want $20 for this son of a bitch? You're gonna sell this dog, this most amazing dog, for $20. Well, what's the problem? And the owner says, he didn't do any of that shit. He's lying.
That is like Phineas did. Huh? It is like Phineas.
you really brought it all.
Weaved it all together, didn't you?
Yeah.
So after a while, however, Phineas and P.T. Barnum had a dispute over money, which often happened with P.T. Barnum because he didn't pay people. Barnum wanted to pay Phineas less money because he claimed the demand to see Phineas at the museum had dwindled.
Well,
frustrated.
I mean, that's something you can only see once.
Yeah, it's not a repeat thing.
No, you pay for it once.
It ain't like Cat. You know, he ain't going to have a long-ass run on Broadway, you know, so. But frustrated, Phineas decided he was going to go off on his own. He traveled from town to town promoting himself. He essentially became a one-man traveling freak show.
He should have had a Patreon page.
Yeah. He said he traveled around the larger towns in New England making public appearances with his tamping iron, to which he had apparently become curiously attracted.
What? Attached to, I think. Is what Not attracted to.
Let me go back and see. Curiously attached. Okay.
Attached to, okay.
So.
Well, I mean, he would have some kind of.
Well, yeah,
sentimental value.
I think there was they had a relationship. They had a very personal and intimate relationship.
If you're making a living, you know, telling people about the time that this thing went through your head. It helps the story if you have it there.
Well, and that's something that would always be on your mind. That was a good one. Okay, anyway. God. Tiring of show business.
He tired of show business.
He grew weary of show business.
You know, he didn't have a second act. He should have did a little soft shoe or something.
Yeah, Gandhi dancer. He worked on the railroad.
Yeah.
He worked for about 18 months and he worked for the owner of a stable and coach service in Hanover, New Hampshire. In August 1852, he saw an advertisement in a local newspaper from a stagecoach company in Chile seeking a driver. He applied for the position through mail and was hired sight unseen. When he got to Chile, his employer was shocked to learn that his new stagecoach driver had only one eye and a hole in his head.
forgot to include that on your resume. They're a Phineas. Yeah.
And this was, I guess this is back when you could discriminate against disabled people. So but despite his disability, he was desperate for drivers and they hired him. And he was invited to Chile to work as a long-distance stagecoach driver there, caring for horses and often driving a coach heavily laden and drawn by six horses on the Valparaiso-Santiago route, Timmy.
All right.
With one eye.
With one eye. Now, this was a very dangerous route. It was marred by rugged terrain, deadly cliffs, and the ever-present bandits.
Now, how would you like to get in that?
The banditos. How'd you like to be a bandit run across this sumbitch?
Like, how would you like to be a passenger and getting in, knowing that you're going to go along the rugged cliffs?
With Blinky.
This guy got one eye.
Because that'll fuck up your depth perception.
No, if I was a bandit and I came across that guy and saw his brain, I'd be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
You need a few bucks.
You're a bigger badass than I ever will be.
Yeah. It's like the ending of Pulp Fiction. So despite these challenges, Phineas worked for the stagecoach company for some time and seemed to enjoy it. In Chile, he would rise early, groom, feed, harness the horses. He had to be at the departure point at a specified time, load luggage, change affairs, do all those stuff that, you know, they do. Now, despite his injury, he was able to handle these duties well for an extended period, but while in Chile, Timmy, his health started to fail him.
Oh.
He started to experience seizures, and overall, his just health was gone to hell.
Oh.
And it probably was,
it had something to do with that hole in his head.
I wonder if he smoked. If his diet was good.
All right, now going in.
If he got some exercise.
I wonder what he's like, goes into the doctor's office there in Santiago. And I'm feeling poorly.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good. I don't know what's been going on with me lately. It just seems like, I don't know.
I have this terrible headache. It's migraine.
Yeah. My vision seems a little off. I don't know. I wonder if he wore a monocle.
I don't know.
I mean, that would be cool if he wore a monocle on one eye and then put a monocle in the hole.
Maybe he could. He should have wore a patch.
Wore a patch.
In pictures of him, though, he doesn't have a patch on.
Is it like?
I'll show you. We'll post a picture on our Facebook page.
Well, now he could no longer drive a stagecoach, and he returned back to the States and went to San Francisco, where he lived with his mama and his sister. Under his mother's care, he slowly started to improve and was able to take a job working on a nearby farm.
He was
unable to maintain the job because he developed epilepsy.
Motherfucker.
Probably because of a result of his injuries. In February, he began to have severe epileptic seizures. He lost his job on the farm because he freaked the shit out of the horses when he would go into the seizures.
You know what he didn't have?
What?
Heart disease.
Heart disease, no. You can't have a seizure in front of those horses. They do not like it, Timmy.
Oh, he was handsome.
As his seizure...
Well, yeah, until the iron rod went through his head.
He handled it well. As the seizures increased in frequency and severity, he continued to work in various places, although he couldn't do much. So he could have done my job. Finally, unable to work, he returned home to be home with his mother and sister. And on May 20th, 1860... he had a severe convulsion. The family physician was called in and bled him. The convulsions were repeated frequently during the succeeding day and night. Phineas died on May 21st, 1860, at the age of 36. Oh. He was probably about to sign up to go to the Civil War and fight for one of the two sides, even with a hole in his head.
How old was he?
He was 36 years old. He lived for 12 years after that steel rod blasted through his skull. Today, his skull is kept at the Warren Anatomical Museum at Harvard Medical School alongside the tamping iron that penetrated it.
So you can see it today, Dominique.
He was penetrated.
You can go to Boston.
And
Harvard. And you can see Phineas's skull and the rod that went through his head. What do you think about that, Dominique?
What do I think about it? I think I have better things to do with my time.
Okay. What's your final thoughts, Dominique, on Phineas Gage, the man with the hole in his head?
My final thoughts on Phineas Gage. Let's see. I think Phineas Gage is one of the biggest badasses that has ever lived.
Would you have dated him?
Dated?
Yeah. Do you have any... I know you're married, but let's say if you were single and a guy came up to you and hit on you and he swiped right
on Tinder
and he had a hole in his head. Is that a deal breaker or?
Hole in his head. I mean, is he wearing a hat? Is he wearing a top hat?
No.
Will he wear a top hat?
Pus oozing from his.
Well, he had a post-pus period.
Yeah, pre-pus period.
What
too.
Part of the pus period are we in?
Well, let's say he's healed somewhat.
I mean, he is a handsome man.
Yeah.
But the thing I would worry about, Timmy, I'll be honest with you, is the fact that people with head injuries, as we're learning more and more about, you know, they can go off their rocker without any warning. So would I date him long term?
Maybe just hook up with him? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, look, is there something appealing about being able to say I had sex with the guy who, like, you can touch his breath? I mean, you know, I've had sex with people just to be able to say I really got into his head.
Right. You could say, I was all into his head.
I can see
his line. It's like, hey. You want to touch this?
Yeah. I mean, tell me there's
you
never
touch
been.
You want to touch this? You got to touch that.
You've been on my mind. You've been on my
tell
mind,
me
girl.
There's never been a situation where you looked at
I would bang a woman with a hole in her head.
No.
I would bang the hole in the woman's head.
Where you say to yourself, I'm not saying that this is like my favorite fantasy.
Right.
But
it's something at least you could say you've done.
In a week or two, when I'm at the bar talking to my friends, I can be like, dude, I fucked this guy, and his brain was oozing out of his head while I was fucking him.
I literally fucked his brains out. I fucked his brains out.
Yeah.
Yes!
It would make for a good story.
It would make for a good story. And also, I love my husband dearly.
Colonel, your final thoughts.
You don't love his balls, though.
I love his balls. I love his balls so much.
They're going to get chopped off today.
Colonel, your final thoughts on Phineas?
I like Phineas, and Phineas, I'm sorry for laughing at your misfortune, but goddamn, it's funny.
Okay. So, you want to give us some shout-outs to our Patreon support?
I got a bunch of shout-outs here, Timmy. Let's start with...
But before we do, let us thank...
Well, then why the fuck do you ask me if you're just going to cut me off?
Because this week has been a special week for us. We were mentioned on the number one podcast in Great Britain, They Walk Among Us, with Rosanna and Benjamin Fenton. They mentioned us on their podcast, and we're getting a crazy amount of new subscribers, and we just want to thank them very much for their support.
You know what? And the thing about them, too, is they're just such funny and very genuinely nice people.
Yes, exactly. Benjamin and Rosanna. And they've been very supportive of us.
Aside from, you know, and we joke around because Benjamin, have you seen Benjamin Fenton, Dominique? He is a beautiful specimen of a man.
Okay.
But his wife is comparable.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you look at him and you're like, God damn, who's the pretty one? Because they're both beautiful.
You're trying to figure out which one you want to have sex with more.
No, they're married to each other. They're a lovely couple.
I'm just saying. They're very nice. They're very nice.
You're bi-curious.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's like me and Renee. You got me, the attractive one, and Renee, the smart one. You know, usually you don't have two beautiful people like that together.
It's not like you and Renee.
Yeah, we're very grateful for their support.
We are.
And I will look them up because two beautiful people are wonderful.
And the podcast is amazing.
All right.
And she has some amazing tattoos.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Ooh, because I have some in my lineup.
She has one arm is pretty much a sleeve of just different flowers. Very colorful, very pretty.
Oh, nice. So. All right. I'll look her up.
So, yes, thank you, Roseanne and Benjamin and Ricky.
Yes, Ricky with Squirm.
Her brother, he does Squirm Podcast. Funniest son of a bitch you ever met. I mean, he is the funniest guy I've ever heard on the podcast.
We're going to work on a crossover with Squirm. We're going to do one. We're going to try to put together podcasts with Ricky and have him on the show, and it's going to be hilarious. So, looking forward to that. Okay, back to your Patreon.
Okay, guys. Our Patreons. We got Daniel Sassett, Jim Moyer.
Bassett.
Well, you write like a damn. You write like Phineas with his eyes closed. So we got Jim Moyer, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Shelly.
A lovely Shelly. She has the most beautiful eyes. Shelly Garrett? Yeah.
She's a pretty woman. She's a beautiful woman.
I love her eyes.
Okay, easy there.
Paco? That sounded a little creepy, but she's very beautiful.
You know, I think people, when they have features like that, they get cheated. Don't you think? Because, like you say, she has beautiful, but I think she's a beautiful woman,
well,
just
do
all
too.
Over,
I
don't
just,
you?
Yes.
She is gorgeous, yeah.
But you say she has beautiful eyes. She might have a fantastic butt. We don't know.
Well, no,
and people are talking about her eyes all the time.
And we're not soliciting.
Hmm?
Because we respect her as a person.
Yeah, well, of course we do.
She's very intelligent, smart, and engaging young lady. I'm just saying, I think her
You can say somebody has beautiful eyes. It doesn't mean that they don't have, that they're not beautiful in
I'm
other
not,
ways.
I look at people, I look at their insides.
He looks at them holistically.
I look at the person's insides. I really don't look at their physical characteristics.
I think you're just jealous because there's nothing about you that we say, oh man, you have beautiful.
Okay, Bridget Clavey, who has a fantastic set of,
Bridget is
knockers
a
on her.
Lovely lady.
My God. So, we're going to get sued.
No, Bridget's cool.
Brandy McBride, who has a beautiful set of twin girls.
Yes.
Jennifer Savoda, right here in Cincinnati. Maggie, our resident poet laureate at History Dweebs.
Maggie Glover.
Of course, They Walk Among Us
Maggie.
Podcast.
She's got beautiful hair.
Yes, she does.
I love that hair.
She does. She's very, very interesting, too. She is a poet. Published poet, a real poet,
right? Yeah.
And I mean, like a real, legitimate, you know, make
She's
a living
published.
Poet.
We get it.
Yeah. Phoenix Down, Lorna Violet, Andrea Odell, Jim Seabright, Michael Deo, Kelly,
Charit.
Yeah, Karen Widener, Callie, the beautiful Callie. You know, Callie's got to be Irish. That red hair and green
Callie.
Eyes. Callie got a mind just sharp as a razor.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll come up with a quip anytime. Joseph Kerr, Lauren Meridian, Jessica Greeno, Pleasing Terrors, Mike Brown over Pleasing Terrors.
Yes, very good podcast. And it's paranormal stuff, ghosts, and stories. It's really cool.
And speaking of another great podcast, we got Joe Hopkins at the Now America podcast, Now America History podcast.
It's a great podcast, great guy.
Rebecca Omelette. Because her last name's too hard to say. She knows who she is. Karen Alden. Cheryl, of course. I love Cheryl. Catherine Richardson. Fiona. Laura
Catherine,
O'Reilly.
Wait a minute. Catherine Richardson. What's her
name? Catherine Cockeraj Richardson.
Yeah, there you go.
Laura O'Reilly. Christine.
Bourgeois.
Donna Curran. The beautiful Maja. Aaron with an A. Kimberly Cameron. Elise. We got the History Goes Bump podcast.
Diane Student.
I'm sorry. Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara Lopes, Alicia and Chip, Jeff and Dawn with their new podcast.
Backroads of History.
Backroads of History.
And,
Poems
by Jeff.
Yeah, I thought they was going to do one more too, but okay. But Backroads of History is pretty good.
Yes, be sure to check it out.
There's
two episodes. And
Jeff's poems, he does not do anything about girls from Nantucket. Yeah. So, Andrew Happ, Karen, the lovely Karen Barnes, and beautiful Rachel Flynn. Holly Woodward, we hope you're doing good. And Shirley, of course, you're always on our thoughts. Todd Long and Lydia Fisher. Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. <You're so stupid. laughs> Brittany Martin, Jennifer Siemens. Jennifer, I haven't seen you around in a while. Check in and say hello to me. Cindy Lou, Lauren Zetti.
I've seen Linda around, her mom.
Yeah, I've seen Linda, but I have not seen Jennifer. Kristen Malachinsky, Heather Poole, Zachary Deloche. Of course, we got Christy Lee up at Canadian True Crime.
That's a great podcast.
Charlie and Allie over at the Insight Podcast. John, Sue Story, Nene, Bridget, Berhars, Stacy, Christine, Cheryl Weldon, Rudy.
Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Rudy the Wonder Dog. Jessalyn. We got, of course, the Lady Beverly. We can never forget. Lovely Lady Beverly. And really, the reason this podcast happens, Timmy, if it weren't for your mother, the lovely Dottie.
Yes, hi, Mom.
I would not even be doing this podcast. I show up and do this podcast to entertain Dottie. That's what I'm here for.
Did you say Charlie and Allie?
Yeah, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast. Okay. The lovely Dottie, who I really my career is a homage to hey, pay attention over there.
Okay.
To Dottie.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mom. We would also like to ask you to check out our new podcast, Colonel.
Deadball.
Yes.
Which is much like Dominique's husband is going to be after today.
It's about Deadball. It's about tragedies in baseball history. We invite you to join us. It's on iTunes, so check it out if you get a chance.
I don't think the vasectomy you got, I don't know if you paid some sort of discount doctor, but I don't think you know what a real vasectomy is supposed to be.
Did they tell you the technique they're using? Did they say, are they using a scalpel?
Yes, and my husband is keeping his balls, which means he had a different procedure than you did.
Yeah, see, they put a rubber band around mine.
Just tied it to a doorknob.
Just like a Doberman?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So they tied it to the doorknob and slammed the door.
After a while, quit aching.
Yeah, he's not getting neutered. It's a vasectomy.
No, actually, when I did get my vasectomy, though, the kids were little, they actually thought that that's what they did was just remove my testicles.
Why did you tell your tiny children you were getting a vasectomy?
People heard about it, and they were like, what are they doing with Dad?
It was all over.
And Logan was about, I don't know, he was probably about 8 or 9 or something, and he was like, So Dad got his balls cut off. I was like, yeah, 30 years ago, son.
Now he's Mom.
No.
Dominique.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
You're going to be doing some work with us.
I am.
Helping us promote the podcast.
I am. I'm very excited. I wanted to mention to everyone who might not know, we're having a meetup in October. And
DweebCon.
Yes, it is. We have an event page. If you go to our history page, Facebook page, we have
History Reeves, the podcast.
Yes, there is an event. If you go to our events, DweebCon is on there, and you can find out details, ask questions, talk to people about rooming together, find out the hotel we're staying at. And also, we are starting to sell merchandise. We have a Zazzle store, so if you go to zazzle.com/historydweebs, we have stuff for Team Timmy, Team Colonel, Team Brandy. We have some CBG stuff, and I will be making more products as the days go by. So check in often, and if you have something you'd like on one of our pieces of merchandise, you can let me know. I can custom make things for you, and the prices are reasonable.
Great.
So, yes.
Awesome. Thank you, Dominique. Well,
thank you for coming here, Dominique.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
I don't get to talk to you nearly enough.
We talk like four times a day.
Yeah. I know, you told me.
For each other's only friends.
Yeah.
I told you today, I said, so Dominique wants to come in to a podcast today. You cool with that? Well, she was here yesterday. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.